Hey, thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Here at Reveal, our mission is simple. Find God, find others, and find yourself. For more information, visit us online at revealvineyard.com.
Well, I have this thing about me, a personality trait. My wife, in fairness, calls it a problem. I call it a personality trait, where I hate to lose. And especially earlier on in life, you didn't want me on your team because if we were losing, no one was having fun. And so I've kind of had to pull back a little bit over time with age and kind of go at things a little bit in a more mature manner. But I still hate to lose. The first 6 months, I think it was, of our marriage, my wife and I decided to go bowling. Now, we're not big bowlers, but we decided let's go out and we'll go bowling. And I have this issue when bowling that I can't put my fingers inside the holes in the ball. I don't know. It's this like it's a condition that I have because you never know what's inside of those things. It's like this. I mean, even just thinking, it makes me sick. Just thinking about, I don't know what's in those. And so I palmed the ball. And so we were five frames in, newly married, and she's winning five frames in. Well, as a 24-year-old guy, I was like, she's cute, but she's winning, and meant I was losing. And so she went to the bathroom, and my condition told me that it would be a good idea to reset the game and just start over while she was gone. And so she comes back, and now it's zeroed out, and we're on frame one. And there is her new husband with this stupid smile on his face, thinking this was really cute. Have you ever had someone say, I'm going to smack that smirk right off your face? It was one of those moments. I learned something that it was a teachable moment at that time. But in my defense, I needed a do-over. I needed something to change. I needed a reset. And I told her, listen, I was just warming up those first five frames, and this wasn't my best. And I thought that if we could just reset, I could do better the next game. I would improve on myself. If you ever feel like you need a reset in life, if you ever felt like you were five frames in and things just weren't going the way that you thought and you're not sure what happened, but you know that you're better than what your performance has been, and if someone would just go to the bathroom, you could reset. You could step into being the person that you know that you should be. Or maybe you think the first half of your life has just kind of been a warm-up, and now you're ready to step into the real thing. It's, you know, in sports, they have a period of time before the game where you can warm up for the game, and maybe you stretch or you visualize what you're going to do or what your game plan is. And the older I get, I actually don't like the warm-up part of sports anymore. You know, I play soccer on our soccer team here when I can make it on Saturdays, and what I found, the older that I get, I have a limited amount of energy in the tank, and a warm-up takes away from that energy. So you can either get warm-up or the real game, but I can't give you both anymore. It would be nice if we had a warm-up in life, but we're actually thrown into it, and it starts immediately. And at times, maybe we think that, well, if I could just look at the first part of my life as a warm-up, I could do better the second half, if I could just kind of have a reset. Maybe you're here this morning, and there's something going on in your life where you need a reset and you need a do-over. You need to step into a new season of life. You need to identify yourself with something new, someone new. Maybe it is that you need to let go of a past identity of how you've seen yourself, someone who was losing or someone who was broken or someone who was unlovable or unworthy or incompetent or whatever that might look like. You need to let go of a past identity and take hold of a new identity that's going to push you forward. Well, today we're starting a two-week series called Sacraments. A sacrament is a rite or a ceremony. We'll put it up on the screens there. A sacrament is a rite or a ceremony instituted by Jesus and observed by the church as a visible sign of grace. So it's something that Jesus asked us to partake in, that we do so as a visible sign of grace. Now, we're going to look at two sacraments, depending what your background is. You could your church background, you may have seven of them, you may have more, but we're going to look at the sacrament of baptism, and next week, the sacrament of communion. We know that when God asks us to do something, that there is a purpose behind it, that God is not simply interested in giving us busy work or something that's going to keep us busy. Whenever he asks us to do something, there is significance throughout the Old Testament. There were feasts that God, or celebrations that God asked his followers to be involved in that had a specific purpose, and the purpose was to highlight something about the character of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the provision of God. Ultimately, they all highlight the coming Messiah. And so there were these seven feasts spread out against over 7 months that God had a purpose in each of them. And so we know today that when Jesus asks us to establish two of these sacraments, that there is a purpose. Just like in the Old Testament, there served a purpose to both the individual and the community. Jesus now gives us the sacrament, today as we talk about baptism, that has a purpose, it serves a purpose to both the individual and the community at large. And so these two sacraments or celebrations, baptism and communion, we can serve that they be sure that they serve a purpose for us today. So when we talk about baptism, we have to ask the question, why? And this is where we'll get into this idea of a new identity and stepping into a new identity. We know that God is not a God of confusion. He's not placed us in this maze of life, and he's timing us to see how long it will take us to get the cheese. We know that God isn't into rituals just for the sake of rituals. Whatever he asks us to partake in, there's a definite spiritual purpose. He's interested in life-changing impacts and events that have life-altering results. And so Jesus says, listen, one of the things that I want you to always remember, always be a part of, is this idea of baptism. Next week, we're going to have a church-wide baptism. We're renting out the Surprise Aquatic Center. At 5:30, we'll gather the men, women, and children that will be baptized. We will baptize them, and then we open up the entire pool and the slides for just family fun, and we'll bring in subs and cake and drinks, and we try to make it a celebration. Maybe you're here and you need to be baptized. Maybe after the message today, there's going to be something where you say, yeah, I need to embrace that idea of what baptism signifies. I hope we can play a part in that spiritual journey with you. So today, as we look at the sacrament of baptism with a message titled, Baptism into a New Identity. Why don't you pray with me? Lord, it's good to be together and to celebrate with the people of God and the people of Christ's followers. And I would pray today that you would rest on us in a strong way with your Holy Spirit to redeem us and move us and transform us. And Holy Spirit, would you have your way on us? And those of us that maybe life is crazy right now and we're running in every direction, would you calm us to hear the word of God today? Holy Spirit, would you speak louder than my words to the hearts and minds and spirits of each person here? Would you show yourself to us today? Would you be with the offering that we would represent you and our community well with all that we do? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All of the gospel accounts give the narrative of a man named John. John was a forerunner of Jesus, if you're unaware of his role in the New Testament. There was 400 years of silence from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's called the intertestamental period. It's 400 years of God not speaking, no prophets, really no activity of God that you could see. And then God breaks that silence after 400 years by sending a man named John, who was a forerunner for Jesus, who basically told the people to get ready because God was about to do something that was unheard of. That God is about to step into humanity and he's bringing a redeemer, he's bringing the Messiah, he's bringing the deliverer to us. And then those who believed in John's message, they were baptized as a sign of their belief. The word used in the New Testament for baptism is baptizo. Just want you to have an understanding of kind of the idea. It goes along with what we understand baptism to be, but it means to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge, or to cleanse by dipping, to wash or to make clean with water. So listen to what Matthew says about John's ministry and what he did. John baptized so many people that he actually got the nickname of John the Baptizer, or as we call it, John the Baptist. It was his role. He was baptizing people into this idea that the Messiah was coming. So listen to what Matthew says about John. He's quoting John. He says, where John says that I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming, now he's speaking of Jesus, after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize, wash, cleanse, dip, right? You with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, understand, because it's an important point we're getting to. John says, listen, I'm going to baptize you. I will dip you. I will cleanse you symbolically with water. It's an element that you can see, an element that you can touch, an element that you're aware of. I will baptize you with water. But one is coming who will baptize you with an element of sorts that you cannot see and that you do not fully understand. There is a baptism, a cleansing, a washing, a cleaning, a dipping that is going to come, but it won't be done with water that is visible, but rather it will be with his Spirit that is invisible taking place inside of you. So understand, John's like, look, baptism with water, but there's a cleansing, a washing that's going to come, not on the outside, but on the inside of the individual when Jesus comes. So John is speaking of this, of another cleansing that would happen, not on the exterior, but on the interior of those who believe in Christ. Here's the first thing I want you to understand about baptism. Water baptism is a visible response to an invisible reality. It is a visible response. You can see me go under the water, come out of the water. You can touch the water. It is a visible response to an invisible reality. John tells us, water, but there's something that's going to come that's going to happen with the Spirit, and that Spirit will consume you. You can't see it, but it will be an invisible reality for those who are following Christ. Jesus says, I will dip your soul. I will cleanse you in this invisible type of baptism. Now, water baptism is what we do next week, and it's signifying this exact thing. It is an outward visible response to an invisible reality that is taking place in those who are being baptized. Something that is taking place on the inside of me. Here's what it means. That I'm not the person that I used to be. That inside of me, an invisible reality has taken place at the moment that Christ came into my life, that he should, hopefully, beginning to transform me, and that inward reality, invisible in nature, is changing the man, the woman, the child that I used to be. And I no longer identify with the person that I used to be, but instead I'm laying hold of the new person that God is working in me. It is, in fact, a reset of sorts. It is, in fact, a do-over of sorts. Paul confirms it when he says this in Romans. I love his passage here about this inward reality. He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, dipped, washed, cleansed into Christ Jesus, right, were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, meaning something in you died, your old man. It's symbolic when you go under the water, it's symbolic of your old being put to death. But then Paul says, in order that, go back to the other verse, please, we haven't gone there yet. In order that, he says, now this is where he says, here's the payoff. This is why it's so important. We were buried, therefore, by him into his death, meaning my old man died. And Paul said, get ready, because here's the payoff, and here's what he says. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk, catch that, in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall be certainly united with him in a resurrection like him. Baptism is a visible manifestation of the inward reality that is taking place. And what is the invisible inward reality that's taking place? Here's where you talk. What's the inward reality? Say it louder, I'm old. Newness of life. It's an outward expression, a visible expression of the invisible that is taking place inside of us. And Paul says, the invisible that's taking place in everyone who is a follower of Christ is the old person is dead and there is newness of life that is coming upon you. If you've ever needed a reset, if you've ever found yourself five frames into life and things have gone haywire, Paul is saying, listen, this is what Jesus does. He provides an opportunity for a reset, a cleansing That's the good news of the gospel. Baptism, water baptism, an outward, visible manifestation of something that is taking place inward inside of us. Have you ever found yourself in a place of life where you're not sure how you got there, but you know inside of you that you were meant for something greater than this? You know that, okay, I keep falling into the same pattern, but deep down it's the whisper of the Holy Spirit saying, there's something better for you. And this is what Paul speaks of. Paul speaks of that if we're united with him in death, that we're also united with him in this newness of life that he brings upon us. There is a do-over, Paul says, and his name is Jesus, who can reset your spirit and recreate in you an invisible reality. So is there an invisible reality that's taking place within you? Eventually, that invisible reality needs to become visible to those who are around us. In other words, an invisible reality of a transformation that begins to take place that has never comes out of us, then we have to ask, is that invisible reality beginning to take place? But Paul says, listen, at any moment when you're ready to surrender, the invisible reality of newness of life can be planted within you. And even if you've never thought about baptism, even if you're not sure about who Jesus is, I know that at some moment, at some point, you've thought, wouldn't it be good if I could just redo this portion of life? And this is baptism. It is declaring that God is active in human history and that God is active in my life, that he has given me a new beginning no matter what I've done or how much I've messed up or how broken or fragmented. Baptism is a declaration that God gives new life to anyone who asks for it. You see, we can spend so much time lamenting over who we were that we ignore who we're supposed to be. Go to that next slide there, Wayne, will you? Spend so much time lamenting who we were that we ignore who we're supposed to be. Have you ever felt that your past has so much momentum that it keeps you from seeing your future? Have you ever had the past that keeps riding up on you, running out of so much momentum, it just keeps riding on your tails that it keeps you from seeing the future of what God has for you? Baptism declares that my identity has changed. That the person I used to be, the person I identified with in the past, that person is gone. And I'm identifying with a new creation that God has started in me. Paul says it like this in Philippians. He says, one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Has your past ever had so much momentum that it just wouldn't let you go and it kept you so consumed on your past that you couldn't see your future? And Paul says, listen, let it go. That's not who you are anymore. That there's a newness of life in you. Let it go. There's a spiritual reset. Listen to what he says in that second half of verse 5. He says, for if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection. Paul says, look, who are you going to identify yourself with? You are united or planted or adhered to Christ in his death. Your old man, old woman has died. And there is newness of life coming upon you. And Paul's saying, look, who are you going to choose to be united to? You can continue to choose to be united to the old person because that old man, that old woman's always going to try to build momentum, always going to try to make an appearance. Or you can tell your old self that I am now united to a resurrected person, a new life inside of me, and I am no longer identifying myself with who you are. My old self does not determine my future self. United in death and united in resurrection. This is the internal work of Jesus. Please hear me. Jesus is not about changing your belief structure. Jesus is not only about changing morality. Jesus is not about behavior modification. Jesus is about changing the core of who you are. And when you allow him to have access to the core of who you are, everything begins to change. And Paul says, you want to reset.
Allow him access to the core of your being, meaning just throw it all on the table and say, and I submit everything, I have no more rights. And he says, newness of life begins to filter inside and eventually comes out of you. Your identity has changed, is what he is saying. Water baptism is the outward response that says, I'm not who I used to be. That person is gone, and a new life, the Spirit of Christ is flooding into my being. New life, new hope, new faith, a new future, a new way of thinking, a new way of living. Your identity has changed. Listen to the simple definition of identity. It's the condition of being oneself. The condition of being oneself, meaning it's the real you. The problem is, before Christ, what if you don't like the real you? What if you've become somebody that you're not very proud of? And what if there's something greater waiting for me? And this is Jesus saying, let's do a reset where you can begin to identify with the real you. And the real you is not the old person that died. The real you is the person that is receiving life, my Spirit, life coming inside of you. That is your identity. Now listen, in contrast to identity, there's identification, which is a means of labeling. Now catch the difference. Identification is living off of a label that someone else has placed on you, or a label that you have placed upon yourself. And if you're given a label long enough, and if you're told something about yourself for long enough, eventually you will believe that label. Eventually, you will believe what you've been told. And it can not just affect you, but it can pass on to a family, it can pass on to a generation, it can pass on to a community, it can pass on to an entire country or class of people. Identification is a means of labeling. Eventually, it becomes woven into the fabric of who you are. And we have lived not out of an identity that links us to Christ, but out of an identification of labeling. I place labels upon myself. You place labels on me. I place labels on you, all in hopes of finding something that sticks. Because we've lost our identity. And we've settled for a label. Genesis 3 speaks of a life-altering event. After creation, man and woman, the first mirror that humanity looked into, Adam and Eve, was the eyes of God. The first mirror. When I say we, I mean mankind, right? First creation. The first mirror that we looked into were the eyes of God. And in through the eyes of God, we saw the reflection of who we were. And in that reflection, we gained our value and our identity and our worth, and we found our place. The next time that we saw ourselves, we're not. Looking into the eyes of God, but was looking through the eyes of a tempter. We all know the story, hopefully, of maybe, you know, you don't, but Adam and Eve were tempted. The next time that they saw themselves were not looking into the eyes of God, but looking through the eyes of a tempter. And for the first time, we saw ourselves from another perspective that was not God's. The first time. Up until then, we could say that the only perspective that we saw of ourselves was seeing our reflection in God's eyes, and that we gained our value and understood who we were. And for the first time, looking through the eyes of a tempter, we saw ourselves as not being enough. Not enough for God, not enough for ourselves. And the blur, the crack in the mirror came in these words, Genesis 3:5, where the tempter says, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God." Which is such a strange temptation, because Scripture tells us they were already like God. They were already made in the image of God. But for the first time, instead of looking into the eyes of God to see who they were, they looked through the eyes of another and saw who they were not. Can you put those two slides up if we got them? Next one. Instead of looking into the eyes of God to see who they were, they looked through the eyes of another and saw who they were not. And we have spent every moment since looking for ourselves. We spend our lives sticking labels on ourselves, hoping to find something that fits, something that sticks. And if this one doesn't work, I'll peel it off and I'll try another label, a way of identifying myself. And then you come along and you place labels on me, and I place labels on you because sometimes the label I place on you makes me feel better about me. And the labels you place on you makes you feel better about you. And we have this great exchange of labels. And I'll give you this label because that's how I see you. No, no, Pastor, I see you this way, so you take this label. And if you tell me it long enough, I believe it. And if I tell you it long enough, you believe it. And we have this great label exchange that goes on throughout our lives. And we're looking for something to clear up the confusion. We're looking for something not to identify us, but we're looking for an identity to step into the real me and the real you. And Paul says, this is the message of Jesus. That you don't have to live with labels upon yourself, that instead of being identified, you can step into an identity, and your identity is as a new creature, someone who is united and joined to Jesus Christ. But we spend our lives, it's the default mode of humanity. I put them on you, you put them on me, and we're caught in a cycle. And it separates us, hear me, labels separate us into the haves and the have-nots. Because they had stars, all the star-belly sneetches would brag, we're the best sneetches on the beaches. With their snoots in the air, they would sniff and they'd snort. We'll have nothing to do with the plain-belly sorts. Bring a little Dr. Seuss in for you today. And he hit it on the head. I'm going to label you as not having a star because I feel better about myself for having a star. And we do this continually, and what we're missing is we're not looking for an identification, we're looking for an identity, and that identity, Paul says, you cannot find it unless you find it in the one who created you and what he's waiting to give is a new life, a new identity, the real you that we've been searching for all along. Hey, if you've ever wanted to see the distance between God and man, if you ever want to see how far we've fallen, just look at how we treat one another and how we treat creation. We're the only species that pollutes and destroys and kills and hates and gossips and tears down, and we hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness and pride and jealousy, and we've lost our identity, and we've lost what it means to be human as an image bearer of God. Have you ever wanted to just kind of take it off? Not your clothing. But have you ever wanted to just stop living off of labels? And some of you, if you're honest, you're covered in them right now. Have you ever just wanted to say, can I just let them all go? Can I just start to take them off? And can I just live label free for maybe the first time in my life? Paul says this about labels in Colossians 3. He says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put on the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. We're going to come back to that. After the image of its creator. Something is being renewed in us. And here's what he says about labels. He says, here, now, there is not Greek and Jew. There's not circumcised and uncircumcised. And there's not barbarian and Scythian. And slave and free, and Galatians 3 says adds male and female to that as well. He says, but it's now Christ is all and in all. Listen, important, please, especially in light of where our country is. Paul says, here, now, in this new community, if something is being regenerated in you, he says, now, based upon the Jesus that we've encountered in this new reality, there are no more labels. That it's no longer about slave and free or man and woman or circumcised or uncircumcised or Jew or Samaritan who hated each other. He's drawing on a polarity of people. There's this side and there's this side. And in many of these situations, they were at war with each other. And Paul says, guess what? In this new reality here, if you're in Christ, none of it exists anymore. See, all around us are souls that have been shattered and torn. But there should start in us an invisible reality. And it starts with God putting the pieces back together. and tearing down old beliefs and blowing up old stereotypes. And Paul is shouting to us, stop assigning labels. And if he was here, I think this is how he would say it. Here, there's no Israelite and Palestinian. There's no Republican or Democrat. There's no black and there's no white and there's no male and there's no female and there's no Black Lives Matter and there's no Blue Lives Matter. He says, here, if you are in Christ, the labels that you have used to place upon yourself to identify yourself no longer exist. Thank you. Now, I want you to listen to how the message that passage, because it's beautifully worded with imagery. It's the same passage, Galatians 3. He says, now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free means nothing. From now on, everyone is identified by Christ, everyone included in Christ. Baptism is a visible reminder of an invisible reality taking place that from this point forward, I live with one label, and the only label that I live with says Christ. Isn't it what you want? Don't you want to take off every other label that you've placed upon yourself? Let me address briefly some of what's taking place in our country today. Our country's being divided by labels. And it concerns me at times that even believers are throwing labels around to other believers. Both followers of Christ, both searching, living for, serving the same God. And we're so quick to throw out labels. And Paul would tell you, you need to stop it. Look, do you realize you can disagree with my political views and we can still be united? You don't have to label me and I don't have to label you. I find it just... You know, especially on Facebook, someone puts Black Lives Matter and someone gets offended and they get a Blue Lives Matter. Why does it have to be either or? Why isn't it both and? Why isn't it both Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter? Because we're in this together. And the new reality for those who are in Christ is that something internally is taking place in you and labels no longer matter. And the only label we live with and the only label we hope to place on someone is a label that says Christ. Listen to our area, Grand Poobah. We're part of Association of Vineyard Churches, worldwide churches all around the world. Phil Strout. Is our overseer, and he wrote, he's a wonderful guy, but I want to read you his letter that he sent to the pastors of our churches. He says, friends, these are troubling times in which we live, and today I am grieved along with every person who cares about justice and good will in our nation over the events of the past few days. The shocking killings of two young black men in Louisiana and Minnesota and the shooting deaths of five police officers in Dallas leave us all reeling as we face the harsh realities of our world today. These tragic events reveal both our deep brokenness and our desperate need for God as people. These incidents have also stirred deep wells of pain, fear, and anger and frustration across our land, especially but not limited to in our African-American communities. As a result, the Vineyard... As a movement, the Vineyard has always been committed to speak for those who are voiceless and to care for the vulnerable and to bring the good news to those who are weak. We have always been committed to the ministry of reconciliation, actively walking into arenas of relational chaos to bring peace and giving the presence of Christ. grieving with those who grieve, we have the opportunity to express love from the community of Christ with the aching hearts of our cities and towns. We also have the opportunity to invite people into our lives who are feeling vulnerable in light of this recent news. It is important for us to publicly recognize the pain of the African-American communities and to what they feel in light of tragedies like these, and to stand in solidarity with those who are both grieving and vulnerable. It is also important for us to publicly recognize the sorrow we mutually bear as Americans as the shooting of courageous law enforcement officers underscore again our desperate need for hope that pierces the darkness. While I cannot address every situation of need at this time of turbulence, I encourage you all as a church to be the healing agents in your neighborhoods through prayer, and community participation. He says, in the coming weeks, I invite you to join me in prayer, and we'll put this on our Facebook page. Pray for the families impacted by these killings. Pray for our African-American neighbors overwhelmed by uncertainty. Pray for our law enforcement communities and for those who are called to be peacemakers to step into this time of distress. Jesus came to reconcile us to God and us to one another. And as followers of Christ, we are people of reconciliation who believe that in the face of our struggles, there is a God who can heal the deepest animosities of the human heart. As we act in compassion, forgiveness, reconciliation, intercession, we also join with the Spirit of God in groanings for our Lord's return to bring his new creation completely to our world. For now, we partner with him in wiping away tears and working to heal the wounds that bring such sorrow in these movements. Church, this is our call. Morgan, if you could come on up. This is who we are supposed to be. Not assigning labels, but peacemakers and those that look for reconciliation. And I would ask just respectfully that, hey, it's okay to disagree with a brother in Christ, but to start assigning labels that tear us apart and to put you in this place and me in that place, it's not the heart of our Savior and our Messiah who reconciled us to God and then calls us to reconcile others to him as well. Paul wraps it up like this, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the mystery, that you cannot gain a new identity until you release your old identity. And you cannot find life until you embrace death. And this is the invitation that Jesus gives to us. And maybe for some of you, maybe you need to be baptized coming up. Maybe you were never baptized, or maybe you didn't have an understanding of what it is, or maybe you're making a new commitment to Christ. I say this sincerely, I would be honored to participate in that with you. But we leave our old identity to grab hold of a new identity. New life. Because it's no longer about the labels that I've lived with. It's the one label, Christ alone, Christ in me. I'm going to close with a song. I'd ask that you'd reflect on the message today. I'd ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Maybe there's something you found offensive. Maybe there's something that you don't want to let go of, and you're like, but they deserve the label. And maybe you just need to let the Spirit speak to you and just kind of let it all go. Holy Spirit, could we bring the house lights down a little bit? Spirit, would you speak now to us and remind us of the new identity that we can step into? Our old person washed away and the new being, new life coming upon us. I want to embrace that. I want to put down every false label that I've picked up, and I repent for every label that I've cast out upon people that separate us into the haves and have-nots. And I just want to represent Christ. I pray that is what the hope of our church is to represent Jesus and to find our identity in you. In Jesus' name. Would you stand as we sing, please?
God in my living, there in my breathing, God in my walking, God in my sleeping, God in my resting, there in my working, God in my thinking, God in my speaking, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything. God in my hoping, there in my dreaming, God in my watching, God in my waiting, God in my laughing, there in my weeping, God in my hurting, God in my healing, be my everything. Everything, be my everything, be my everything. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Be my everything, 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 be my everything.
Today without making that personal decision to be a Christ follower. Don't leave today on the fence. Don't leave today being half in and half out. Leave today fully committed to making Jesus everything. If you need to be baptized next week, let's talk. You can put your name, drop it in the bulletin, I'll contact you, see me afterwards, whatever that might look like. Parents, you need to have a message like this with your children. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about sin. Tell them what it looks like. And maybe you can share in that part of your children's life. Regardless, I hope our entire church is out next week for our baptism celebration. I bless you. And I ask, Lord, that your face would shine upon us and your hand would rest over us. And I pray blessings upon each person here. to experience new life, new freedom, to step into a new identity provided by the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you'd like prayer, we'll have some people down here who'd love to pray for you. I hope to see you next week. We'll continue with our series. Hey, I don't know about you. It's good to be back today. It's good to be in front of you. It's good to see you. Bless you guys.